From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made at the polls, June 22nd. That's primary day. Voters in Rochester will see 16 names on the ballot in the race for Rochester City Council. There are 5 at-large seats up for this election, and our goal is to talk to all of the candidates at length so you feel informed when heading to the polls. Council has played a major role in issues that have brought national attention to Rochester this year and last. New members will have a voice in shaping the future of our city, from policing to economic development to housing and more. We continue our conversations with the candidates this hour, and I'd like to welcome 2 of them now. Anthony Hall is an activist and a youth gang intervention specialist at the City of Rochester. Anthony, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And Britton Hargers is an activist, a master barber, case manager at Trillium Health, and founder of Next Generation Men on Transition. Britton, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Evan. And how are you today?
Good, sir. Well, let me do this. Let me ask both of you to, and I want to make sure we heard Britton just fine. It was a little on the background, Britton. If you're on speaker, make sure it could be an earpiece. I just want to make sure we hear you as clearly as we can. So, Anthony, let me start with you. Introduce yourself to our listeners if they don't know you. Tell us about your career, what you're doing now, and why you decided to run for city council.
Thanks for having me. My name is Anthony Hall, and I am a former gang specialist of Pathways to Peace program for the City of Rochester. Also, former dean at Virtus Charter School for Young Men in the City of Rochester. Currently, the executive director of Book Bags Express, a community initiative started over a decade ago to address disparities within our community. I'm running for city council to restore accountability, transparency, and hope back to our community and allow those that have been locked out, the voiceless, to have a voice at the table. It's very important and imperative that our community understands the dynamic of where we're at in this moment. And we need leadership to reflect this moment. And electing me for city council brings that change and that boldness that this community desires.
Tell us about Book Bags Express, Anthony.
Yes, definitely. Book Bags Express started 12 years ago. And at first, it was just me just wanting to engage with youth and education. And then it sprung into so many things, pregnancy prevention, childhood development, addressing homelessness, the food disparity. So what we do is twice a month we have community service projects that are led by community folk. And for instance, we just had a large cook and teaching session to talk about politics. And these things go on in our community, and it actually enhances awareness. And it's a source. It's a resource in our community that people can come in and say, yo, I need help. And I think that's important. Those that we elect have a strong strong community base as a body of work. I don't get paid for that work. We're doing this work because we know it's needed, and it's something that's impactful in areas where there's a dim light.
Britton Hargers, why don't you introduce yourself for those who don't know you and tell us about your work, your career, and what your goals are for Rochester City Council.
All right. My name is Britton Hargers, and I am a longtime city resident. I am the founder and president of Next Generation Men of Transition. I am also a queer trans person of color, and I am a activist and advocate. As you did say, I am a peer navigator for the case management team at Trillium Health. I work on a day-to-day basis with folks in our community who have new diagnoses of AIDS and HIV, as well as long-term patients as well. I'm an advocate for youth and adults with disabilities. As you stated, I am a licensed community master barber as well as a mentor, and I am a proud Black Lives Matter leader and activist and organizer. I am running for city council to change the narrative. I believe that, honestly, when it comes to changing the narrative, we're giving the city representation to actually change Rochester. I believe that it's time to reclaim our city. And I believe that with electing folks who fight to represent the people and not just a political machine, that we can do that. I believe that we need to reimagine public safety. And that starts with government and local law enforcement officials, both standing to serve and protect, as well as keep us safe. I also believe in refunding Rochester, where we can reallocate funds from the RPD to the Rochester City School District in reimagining a new creative and productive pipeline. I believe that Parcel 5 should definitely have a 24-hour mental health facility. And I really believe that we need to pour back into the resources that a lot of Rochester City residents, such as myself, have seen coming up before that are no longer around. And I also believe in housing justice for all. It's a human right. We live in one of the richest cities and in the richest state in the country. So canceling rent and ending homelessness is something that we all can do, and it starts now.
Tell us about Next Generation Men of Transition.
Next Generation Men of Transition is a empowerment, is a resource, is a world-renowned, at this point, support group advocacy, and I would say a channel and a center for Black men who are transitioning from female to male. We know firsthand that it is one thing to be a queer trans person of color or even a person of color up under the LGBTQ+. So it is even 10 times harder to live in your authentic self as a transgender individual. So I created a support group about 3.5 years ago. And as I stated, we have touched every major city, every state, as far as our mutual aid, our support groups, just a lot of the things that we've done, and we will continue to strive.
Talking to Anthony Hall and Britton Rogers, who are running for Rochester City Council. So let's start on the issue side with one of perhaps the issue of the day here, and it's one that has made Rochester the subject of national news. It is not just the death of Daniel Prude, but it is the question of reform of police. Anthony Hall, let me start with you. What is the first priority you have for any reforms that you would want to bring to police in Rochester?
I think working with our local legislation to make sure Taylor Law, the bargaining agreement, immunity, qualified immunity, is off the table. It's important that we understand where we're at and how we do this is totally different from the past. Also, if we don't buckle down on police reform and the system itself, these things will keep perpetuating themselves in our community. There has to be some type of system in place that we can hold folks accountable that works for law enforcement in our community, particularly by elected folks, right? We have the Police Accountability Board in place. So that's a mechanism that can hold law enforcement accountable and giving them authority to do what they need to do as it relates to, you know, misconduct, brutality, so on and so forth. As elected official, also, that's a heavy lift. So being able to be bold enough and have the will to say what's going on and being transparent and exposing it to the community, because you represent these people. And it's important that you have the ear of the community so you know what's going on in your community as it relates to law enforcement, walking the beat, how they engaging folks. These things are conversations that's being had, but they're not being had with the folks that are directly impacted by the mistreatment of law enforcement in our community. So as an elected official, it'd be my job to go out in the community, and definitely I want to talk to the people who's seen it on a day-to-day basis. I want these folks to be in these rooms, to be on these committees. And I think that also changes the narrative and puts a different spin on it, because a lot of times we stack the deck with folks that have very little experience with a negative encounter with law enforcement, mm-hmm. or they're book smart, and they only know what they've read and what they've learned versus the experiences that community folk deal with And also making sure that training is up to par. And we say you can't train racism out, and that's a fact. And that's why it's important that we implement strategic ways of implicit bias. All these trainings, we do it on a quarterly thing, not just one time as a cadet. No, we're doing this stuff on quarterly, so that each officer knows where you're at. And one of the biggest things is living in the community. I think it's important that if officers lived in a community, that changes the community itself. Because if you got an officer on your street, 9 times out of 10, there's the likelihood of somebody robbing cars and all this type of stuff. It's low. Not saying it won't happen, but it's low, right? But it helps, and it's important. It's important for people to understand that officer friendly, per se, is in the community and volunteering in the community. Off the job, not getting paid to volunteer, showing up to events, just being there and just being a part of the community, that changes the narrative.
So let me press a couple of points here, and then we'll get Britton's feelings on police reform. So when you talk about police being in and of the community, there has been talk about a residency requirement. We know that most Rochester police officers, most Rochester teachers don't live in Rochester. Most live in the suburbs or outlying areas. And some municipalities across the country have tried to impose residency requirements. It's come up in Rochester. The mayor has talked about it. Her opponent in the mayoral race, a member of Rochester Council, City Council, it's Malik Evans, told the Democrat and Chronicle that his favor is for vouchers for housing, an incentive for police, for example, to live in Rochester without a requirement. How do you see this actually getting done? Which proposal do you like best here, Anthony?
Homing in on uplifting Black folks, right? When we were talking about incentives, we must be deliberate on who we're giving incentives to, because when you bring up teachers, right, the teachers' workforce in our community is well over 80% white. So in order to gauge more minorities, particularly Black folks, that come in and want to teach in Rochester, those vouchers is definitely needed, just like law enforcement. Those, if you want to get a new pool of different folks, particularly minorities, to come in, definitely give vouchers out, right? But understanding that this is a long-lasting as long as you're on the force, as long as you're teaching, this is residency. I think a lot of times we say, oh, we're going to do this and put a stipulation that you only got to be here for a year, 2 years. No, I think if you're going to be committed to work in a city for a municipality, I think you should be committed to that city and live there. I think that's important. As an elected official, you have to live in that area. If it's a district, you have to live in that district. If it's a citywide race, like myself, mm-hmm, and Britton is in, you have to live in the city. So it's important that you reflect that. And I think those that work for the city, particularly in law enforcement or teaching, they definitely should live in the city. It breeds a communal front now, because now your children are playing with my children. Your children are going to school with my children, and your perception on city living changes because now you're in the city.
Yeah. So make it a requirement.
Yes.
Okay. And on the subject of understanding people who tend to be the subjects of mistreatment at the hands of law enforcement, you were a youth gang intervention specialist. You've done that work. You've talked about needing to be in touch in this community. Do you feel like you have experiences that would make you more in touch either than current members of council or the administration? Can you share perhaps an example with listeners?
Oh, definitely. So coming from that field of a youth intervention gang specialist, we're on the front lines, mediating, intervening in very high level of violent situations. And
One of the examples is 2019. There was a huge funeral on Hudson Avenue, and that we worked the detail. And we go there, we go to funerals and wakes just to make sure that, you know, nothing happens. So we're there, and they had this funeral at this funeral home on Hudson Avenue, and a young man is coming across the street and gun out everything, and he's walking towards the crowd. And immediately I take off directly towards the young man, running towards him and telling him, yo, get out of here, turn away, get stand. And then other support, other colleagues come behind to support. These things happen, right? And numerous of times something like this had happened, a fight breaks out or whatever. It's important that, you know, as a frontline worker, that you have these experiences when you're talking about you want to run. I'm not saying that's everyone's experience, but something of that nature should be in everyone's toolbox. But for me, when we're talking about violence in this community, as it relates to trying to stop it or stopping it, I can't lend expertise in that realm. So definitely, we myself and many other folks in this community, as it relates to violence, have answered the call. As Britton stated, we've been activists around Daniel Prue incident, and well before. And it's important that these different experiences shape the narrative for this moment as we move forward to get elected, because we're in this time and you need folks elected that are in this moment because they see it, they experienced it, and they want to drive the force of change and change the narrative so that the community can thrive once again.
Talking to Anthony Hall, who's running for Rochester City Council. Britton Harger's running for City Council. Britton, what's at the top of your priority list when it comes to police reform?
I believe that when it comes to police reform, we have to first start with the picture of public safety. And I believe that that comes with accountability and transparency. And right now, the current folks that are sitting on City Council, I do not believe that one of the core values that is needed to sit in that seat is accountability and transparency, but not just for self, for the whole City Council as a whole, just due to what City Council actually represents. Everyone keeps saying that we need to build new systems, but we actually have a system, and the system that we have just needs to be updated, and we need to sit down and take the time to find out what that broken system looks like and how police reform can completely be turned around. I believe that, once again, with transparency and accountability, something that the chief deputy said this morning, and I believe that it's just something, one of those things about not being true, truly accountable and truly transparent, that one thing that Anthony touched on is that implicit bias. Like, that's not something that can be taught. Like, you cannot teach someone to let go of those things that they don't even realize that they're actually processing in themselves, but allow the experts to speak when it comes on police reform. There are a million and one city residents, community residents in our city that can speak to what this reform should be and what it needs to be because of their situations with the RPD. Another thing about that is very fundamental is the chief said that we are going to bring in experts from local city nonprofits, citizens, community leaders to gain insight. But when you break down that word citizen, it really breaks down to an inhabitant of a city or a town, especially one entitled to rights of privilege. I can't tell you how many city residents, black and brown and non-black and brown, do not feel like we live in a city of privilege. So when we start there, we have to start, like I said, from the top to the bottom, first with that accountability and that transparency. And if you're not asking the expert's opinion from the city residents, we're never going to understand and know what really police reform truly is, because we're not listening to the people that are demanding that it be reformed.
And let me ask you a little bit about training. You make the point that you don't think we can train bias out of police officers. I mean, certainly there are people who are biased at one point in their life, have prejudices that evolve and change, and I think probably often to the point that you and Anthony have made through life experience, through actually living in spaces and interacting, and not just sort of bubbling or walling off and segregating. So I think that's an important point here. But there is an effort to train. There is an effort to train on implicit bias. There is an effort to train on various forms of prejudice. You don't believe that that can be effective with Police Britain?
I believe that it is something that we have to honestly be very transparent about. Can you teach someone how to be sympathetic? Can you teach someone how to have empathy? Like, honestly, like, you can learn, and yes, your viewpoint may change, but if you're still holding on that implicit bias, which is something that you truly have no knowledge that it's actually there until something arises, no matter how many protests that you show up to, no matter how many books that you've read, are you really learning to deal with marginalized community? Can you be equipped by a book or a training that does not come with lived experience to say that this is something that you're able to handle? And also, you have to realize that if this is not inclusive of city residents with a lived experience, then how can we believe and reform without, once again, like I said, one thing that Sullivan said is we're going to call it the experts. The experts are, when, like I said, you can say that she was inclusive of everyone when saying citizens, but you're really not inclusive when you're saying citizens. Like, we need to talk about city residents. We need to talk about the lived experience of the people that are continually brutalized on an everyday basis, and especially young Black and brown men that are literally targeted from the age of 10 or 11 years old until later in adulthood. So those are things that we need to sit down and think about. And just when you say, can these things be trained, think about excited delivery. At this point, excited delirium is something that is now being brought in and now being trained to officers, that this is something that it's okay when it's an officer, and it can be used in the justification of something that an officer does. But when it comes down to Black and brown people, that's not something that's handled. So when you talk about police reform, in 2014, the FBI law enforcement bulletin said that excited delirium syndrome is serious and potentially deadly medical condition involving psychotic behavior, elevated temperatures, extreme fight or flight response by the nervous system. So pretty much, to me, it's saying that the chief wants city residents to put their trust in police officers and believe that they can be taught how to recognize this within themselves and when they're experiencing it. But common things like sympathy, empathy, and personal growth, just the way that, like, generations are growing, like, those are not things that can be taught. But you want us to continually believe in people that can be seriously and potentially deadly, just to this psychotic mind frame that is negatively forced on Black and brown folks. But they're trying to teach us that it's okay with the police and multiple police agencies across the board. That reform comes to listening to people like myself who have the lived experience, and also the ears that are willing to listen to the people who are not ready to stand up front and share those stories. People such as Anthony that are on the forefront. So when people are talking about, you know, gangs in the city, you can talk all you want about the gangs in the city, but if you're not on the front line like Anthony, you don't have that lived experience to say that this is what our city needs.
So let me ask you then, Britton, and then I'll ask Anthony the same, about some specific proposals. When it comes to the number of police officers, by some measures, Rochester has the second most officers on its force, about 700 plus, of a city of its size in the country behind Birmingham. How many officers should be on the Rochester police force, Britton? I mean, roughly. I'm not looking for an exact number, but if there's more than 700 now, what is sort of an ideal number to you?
I believe that the ideal number starting out within the next year would be decreasing that by half. One thing that I will continue to say is we do live in the richest state of the richest country in the world. And now we can pinpoint in New York State where a lot of that money is going.
Okay, so roughly half. Anthony Hall, what's the number?
Definitely. Years to come, roughly half. It's important that
when we talk about reimagining, in other places, they use different forms of policing. And for instance, the Jewish community in New York City, they use their own policing methods. They're Jewish. They drive cars that look like police cars, and they respond in their community, the Jewish community. These methods are very important, and we have to look at different things that will affect us in this city so that folks can feel safe. If folks want to police our neighborhoods and work in our communities but don't want to live in them, that tells us a lot. And when you were talking, when Britton was talking about giving people wanting to change or being able to change and teaching folks empathy and sympathy and compassion and just caring, that's once again, whole time is experience. If these things are not something that's illuminated in the workplace, you got to be a tough guy. You got to be this type of person, this makeup of a person in order to be in law enforcement. And you have to get away from every humanistic aspect of living in order to be a police officer. Then we don't want that in our community. We want real people in our community that has the will to say, no, you can't do that to their colleagues. We want folks in our community that reflect the community. And yes, it does. The variable, one of the highest variables is ethnicity. We know that. But also, even in ethnicity, we still want folks that have the heart and the will to look things from a humanistic standpoint.
All right. Britton Harjers, Police Accountability Board has asked for a $5 million budget to employ up to 55 staff members to do a wide range of work. Is that a budget you would vote for fully?
Yes, I definitely fully would vote for that. Let's just be honest. Like, I would invest a dollar into accountability for every $5 that is spent on policing. And that's really a real irrational. When you think about that, for every $5 that is spent on policing and we're only asking for $1 for accountability, like, why is there even a price on accountability? Like, this is something that should come with signing up for that line of duty. This job that is so hard and the job that we and so many people are made out to not understand, why doesn't this job entail, why is it not in the qualifications or the job description, the job description to be accountable and transparent? And I believe that is what the PAB is doing and going to assist and build trust with city residents.
Okay. Anthony Hall, $5 million for the Police Accountability Board. Would you vote for that?
So for me, I wouldn't vote for the $5 million. I definitely believe they need to be funded. $5 million. It's always good to overreach. It's always good. But I definitely would vote for them to be fully funded. $5 million is, in my opinion, too much at this point. Because we don't want the Police Accountability Board to take the responsibility, all the brunt of the responsibility from folks that we elect. It's important that we understand that the Police Accountability Board is there as a mechanism to show the folks that we elect, hey, this went wrong on your watch. Now it's the job of the electorate to do the necessary work to make sure a wrong is made right. So for me, I definitely feel they should be funded fully. $5 million at this point, I wouldn't vote for that.
Okay, and to the point of elected officials doing the work, the city council, current city council of Rochester, had its own investigation, and certainly there is plenty of evidence that City Hall withheld from the public what it knew about this case. Anthony Hall, do you think the mayor of Rochester covered up the death of Daniel Prude?
I think she was complicit in it, definitely. I definitely think she was complicit in it. She's the mayor. She's the top dog of the municipality. Why would she not know? I think
folks in City Hall as the investigation unfolded. The Corporation Council knew, and these things as a council person, you all council is the fiduciary, their functionality, fiduciary, or oversight, and the conduit for the community and for. And to leave the community out of this process as it relates to exposing what took place, because council was very tight-lipped during all this turmoil. There was tight-lipped. And it did the community a disservice because your silence made you complicit. Even if you didn't know as a council member, your silence made you a complicit because you didn't step forward and use your platform to denounce any illegal activity that was taking place. And, you know, go ahead.
And on the subject of elected leaders, the Attorney General of New York State, Letitia James, chose to hire a man named Dr. Gary Vilk, who has been one of the most prominent police defenders in dozens, if not hundreds, of cases across the country. The Attorney General said that she made the best possible case for indicting Rochester officers. Do you think that she did?
No, absolutely not. She didn't. So her job is to protect the state, and no matter what, these things go hand in hand. Her colleagues across the aisle, mayors, and so on and so forth. Look at what just happened in the George Floyd case, right? If before the trial even started, the Mayor Fry, he initially started the judicial process as it relates to arresting officers and firing them, even though they have a qualified immunity out there as well. He started the process, and he called for the investigation and had the Attorney General come in. And quite naturally, the Attorney General is going to follow suit. My colleague did most of the heavy lifting. So once again, this is boldness. This is boldness, and that's the support system as it relates in government. If my colleague is going to do the heavy lifting, I'm going to support my colleague. And because in Rochester, it was a ducking match. Everybody was throwing everybody somewhere else or ducking, so they didn't get caught up in it. Mm. But the reality is, you felt the Daniel Prue family in this community, And yet the community still hasn't got an apology, or the Prue family still hasn't got an apology.
I got to ask Britton Hargers about Mayor Warren and the AG's performance on this, and if you agree or disagree with Anthony Hall. Go ahead, Britton.
I do believe that the mayor clearly had something to do with this situation. And I think that when it comes down to the current city council, that's what we mean by transparency and accountability. No matter what, once it came out that there was the mix-up between our former police chief and his involvement, as well as lovely Mayor Warren, the current city council should have demanded for both of their resignations, because honestly, it's not about having other people a part of the machine behind you. It's the actual city residents. And I do not think that the city residents have been heard on this situation. And I don't think that any trust has been built throughout this whole situation, no matter how traumatic it has been. As far as the AG, it's really sad that if the verdict for Derek had came out, if had came out first, and then, then Daniel Prue's trial, I think that it would have been a lot different. I think the AG would have been able to lead by example, but once again, like, not being able and not ready to go against the machine for the people, I don't feel like the AG did what needed to be done for our city and our city residents, as well as the Prue family and this broken community. So not only is our state not truly supported by the state, meaning the AG, but even the brokenness that continues to run rampant through our community. Like, so what does that trust look like when there's no accountability or transparency for state level, city level, county?
All right, talking to Britton Hargers, Anthony Hall, running for Rochester City Council. Let me sneak in a quick phone call on the subject, and then we're going to talk about some other issues with them. Go ahead, Rich in Rochester.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, yes, good, sir.
Well, real quickly, I think the first, this is just a little FYI. I think the leadership of Rochester has failed. It's been the most disappointing set of events I've seen in a really long time. The mayor, she's disappointed me. But getting to my first question, my first comment about the $5 million,
yep.
I think throwing out this number $5 million is like a disservice. What does that mean? One of your candidates says he wants to fully fund it. What does that mean? Has any of this been defined? So for, I think, any candidate to even answer about the $5 million is premature. We don't know what that means. What does $5 million mean to me in case of this accountability board? Is that a number that has been...
Yeah. It's a good question and a fair one. So the Police Accountability Board is looking for a $5 million budget and to hire up to 55 staff members. Their work is what they hope their work will entail will include disciplinary power of policing. That's a lot of what the City of Rochester voters voted on, thinking that the PAB would have a chance to actually discipline officers if officers stepped out of line. Right now, in the courts, that's held up, and we're not going to get a final decision on that, probably until later this year. But the Accountability Board makes it clear that there's a lot that they do beyond just discipline. They do research. Mm-hmm. They do the mm-hmm. kind of advocacy for change in whether it's training, community, community relations with police, understanding what the people in the city of Rochester want from their police officers, whether we should have different substations, whether we should consolidate in different ways, whether, you know, the number of officers we have. So it's research. It's probably, you know, a wide range of sort of accountability mechanisms outside of discipline, Rich. And I'm not trying to do them a disservice or oversimplify, but that's some of what they want to do.
No, and I think what you're saying is really pertinent, Edwin. So that's, I think that's the evaluation that has to be made, not if they deserve the $5 million. What does fully funding mean? And in the definition, based on what was voted, is this needed or is it less? But I think I think there seems to, there has to be an assessment made of what their duties are going to be, and for them to do them fully and effectively, what does that mean?
I think that's fair. I appreciate that, Rich. And we'll have the leadership of PAB back on to keep talking about this because they are growing and they're growing in their mission. And we shall see. But you heard Britton Harger say, yes, let's fund it what they're requesting. You heard Anthony Hall say he respects what they're doing, wants to build up incrementally, wants to make sure that it's funded in a way that is appropriate to the size and growth of step-by-step mission. So Anthony Hall and Britton Harger are candidates for city council. Oh, it's 1:44 in the afternoon. I have to take this break. And when we come back, we're going to talk beyond police reform, what the candidates want to do if they're elected to Rochester City Council. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, State Senator Samra Brouk joins us. We're talking about this story. Black women are 2.3 times more likely than white women to experience potentially life-threatening complications during or after childbirth. What can be done to eliminate the disparity? We will talk with Senator Brouk and medical experts about what the science says Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let me just get a question from Lydia in. She called in to say, how are you going to get police and teachers to be willing to live in the city with the RCSD being in the shape that it's in? Lydia... I'll let the candidates answer the question, and this is an opening to talk about schools and what they want to do there. Britton Harger, let me start with you. Go ahead, Britton.
Evan, if you could just reread that question for me one more time.
Yep. Lydia says, how can you convince police and teachers to be willing to live in the city? She's referencing the idea that we need more police, more teachers, more people who serve the community to live in the community. She says, how are you going to convince them to do that with the Rochester City School District being in the shape that it's in? She's essentially implying the schools aren't good. How can you convince police and teachers to be there and raise their families? Britton?
And that is exactly why I am running for a seat at City Council. There is no need to convince police or teachers to move. One thing that Anthony said that I could completely validate is he used the example, Evan, of your children going to school with his children. One thing that I think is a very forefront in that question is, you know, with the Rochester City School District being in shambles, why would I want to bring my children to this school district? It's honestly the same question saying, like, then why is it okay for you to come and, quote unquote, educate our children, but then your children are not, these streets are not safe enough for your children, these schools are not good enough for your children. So that lets us know that there is inadequate education as well as a bunch of police brutality going in our city, because we need to convince someone that it's okay to work here and work with the population in the city, but it's not safe enough for us, for these teachers and these police officers to bring their families. So now ask the question is, how do we make these schools, especially the Rochester City School District, how do we make this inclusive so that the education that someone's children may be getting in Brockport or Penfield or Greece is that same equivalent to what our children are getting in the Rochester City School District? What is going on in these suburban towns where people feel like it's safe, but these are not things that we can mirror in the city? It's not about convincing. It's about literally sitting at the table and listening. And, like, obviously, like, you realize that the city school district would not be shaped for your children. So in wanting to be a part of this city, a part of this community, and possibly moving here as a teacher or a family of a police officer, what can you bring to our community that is also not safe? Because you don't want your children here. But so it's sort of kind of like a controversy. So I will not convince. What I will be willing to do is to work together, to partner together, to make sure that education is inclusive no matter where our children live, that safety is inclusive no matter who it is, black, white, brown, purple, green, living in the city of Rochester.
All right. Anthony Hall, what do you think?
I think the question is literally the answer. If folks feel like, oh, the city's in turmoil, too much violence, too much crime, the district is failing, and everyone is saying that, and particularly it's non-melanated folks that actually work in these systems. And what's the difference between the district, Rochester City School District, and Penfield and Brighton is autonomy. The residents of those towns have autonomy within their districts. And I think it's important that that autonomy is placed in our district. So now you come in a district as a new teacher, and you want to be exposed to something different coming from the suburbs. You want to be exposed to something different, and you're working to empower and bring forth the betterment of education to black and brown students as you live in a community that they running up and down your street in. That's important. That's important that we see. That's a great visual for a child to see, hey, my teacher lived down there, or the police officer live over there, or the judge live right there, or the pastor live right here. It's across the gambit. We have to be deliberate on this. Folks can't say something is bad and everybody jumps ship and you said it's bad, and nobody is willing to do the work to make sure that we unearth the badness, get rid of it, because one bad apple does spoil a bunch. So we have to make sure that we go through them, that we go through them and make sure that everyone jumps back on board and willing to row together. That's the only way we create a real community, a vibrant, efficient community, if folks stay on board and willing to roll their sleeves up and go to work. And that's clearly why I'm running. Working in the community is something that I've been doing for over 10 years, filling in gaps and just being there and allowing folks to decompress, to talk or use me as their voice. That's why I'm here, so we can build a communal effort in this front to reimagining Rochester and our schools, our policing, our jobs, our housing market, our food, the food disparities. All these things have to be addressed from a communal effort and understanding that in order to empower folks, we have to keep black folks at the forefront, because we're the most disenfranchised and marginalized. We in the community, we have to make sure that we're homing in on that. But her question is her answer if she thinks about it.
All right, we got a little bit of time left, and I want to ask Britton, can you start with just you're running on a wider platform than what we'll have time to talk about. So why don't you let listeners know what else is on your radar, that if you end up on Rochester City Council, what else is a priority for you to work on?
One of the major priorities, honestly, Rochester City School District is one of the major priorities. And after Rochester City School District, there's been a lot of talk about Parcel 5 being an entertainment district. The way that everything else has been relocated to downtown as a central location, I do believe that we need a 24-hour mental health facility inside of Parcel 5. Our city is not that big. Downtown is very convenient to many. It's on the bus line. And I think that that's something that our city truly needs, and I would like to see a plan in place for that if I am elected for city council over the next 4 years.
Anthony Hall, what's on the top of your list that we haven't gotten to yet?
We're still going to be talking about reimagining, reallocating funds to make sure that we can get an economic base in our community for the disenfranchised and marginalized. It's important that that happens, and what that looks like is that folks can, when we're talking about home ownership, our mayor talks about you can't legislate morale. Well, I beg to differ. I beg if by the stroke of the pen, you can put in legislation or a resolution that Rochester, the city of Rochester, will be willing to do minimum wage at $20 an hour. Will be willing to match dollar for dollar or incentives as it relates to a grant for first-time home buyers. And I know some of these, that program exists somewhat. However, we have to understand that the process is tedious, and we need to simplify it so that folks can really step in line. That all those things, those two things breed, that's the breeding ground for self-worth. I own something, right? And I'm working hard and I'm getting paid good quality money. So now that changes the mindset and that impacts violence. Once you're able to do these things in our community, and it can be done, once you're able to do these things in our community, you have a vibrant, thriving community. And last legislation or resolution, we keep us safe. The name of the legislation or resolution, making sure that dollars are put to grassroots initiatives and organizations and individuals that's on the front line day to day doing work to impact disparities in our community. It's important that these folks are highlighted and lifted and given the necessary resources from government to make sure that they can keep doing the work. Government arms are short, but that's the purpose, so that folks on the outside can actually lend aid so that these disparities can be addressed. It's important that we do that. And lastly, broadening the table. For years, folks in our community have been on the outside of the room. Folks in our community have not been allow at the table. For years, this is happening. We see it right now. We've seen it with the proposal that the mayor gave with the governor in a reform bill. We've seen it with the raise committee and commission. These folks have been outside. The folks that have been directly impacted by mishandling of services or police brutality or the failed educational system have not been heard, have not been in the room, and it's by time that they have a voice in the room.
Let me ask our guest to tell the listeners where they can learn more about your candidacies. Britton Hargers, where can our listeners find you?
ThePeopleSlateRock.com. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Britton Hargers or City Council.
And Britton is B-R-I-T-T-A-N, Hargers, H-A-R-D-G-E-R-S. Anthony Hall, where can people find you?
Definitely. You can hit me up on Facebook, Anthony L. Hall, and you can hit up my campaign page, Anthony Hall for City Council at Large.
There are 16 candidates on the ballot for Rochester City Council, 5 seats, and we are less than 2 months from the election. The primary election is on June 22nd. That's a Tuesday. WXXI will have live coverage that evening. The Rochester mayoral Democratic primary is on the ballot and City Council. And that's why we've been bringing the candidates to you. Anthony Hall, thank you for making time for the program.
Thank you for having me.
Britton Hargers, same. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Britton and Anthony, I think that's Britton also saluting Anthony and appreciating each other. And there's been a lot of collegiality among the candidates respecting each other. It's a lot of candidates on the ballot, a lot of people to get to know. Rob Braden is the engineer of Connections. Megan Mack, Emma Ray Stein, and me, Evan Dawson, saying thanks. And we will be back with you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.